Can turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, if you're using one of those Bibles from the pew in front of you, that's page 654. Since about October of 2023. As I've had opportunity to preach, I've been preaching through Proverbs, and here we are coming to a close today. It's been a few detours along the way. We've stepped out of Proverbs a few times, but as I've had opportunity, we've been in Proverbs, and now today we get to finish out with the last poem in the book, Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Before we begin, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, it is my desire that I would preach with clarity, with conviction, and with compassion. And Lord, I pray that you would please give all of us a heart to hear your word. Please work through your word in us. Help us to be wise with your wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The final section of Proverbs is a poem that praises the excellent wife, or you might have a translation that says the virtuous woman. It's a passage that has unfortunately been misinterpreted, misunderstood, and misapplied to the detriment of many ladies in many households. On the one hand, some have used this poem as a sort of God-inspired daily planner for a wife and mother. The specifics of this poem are providing a list of obligations for any godly lady. If you want to be godly, then you need to make all of your family's clothes. You need to be the cook in your family, and on and on. But that understanding doesn't actually hold up under examination. And for one, those specifics that are in this poem would combine to present a literally unattainable standard. It simply is not possible for a lady to do all the things listed each day and then rise before dawn in verse 15 and stay up late into the night in verse 18. She will not physically make it. She needs sleep. So it's impractical in that regard, but it also doesn't hold up grammatically. The nuance of the verbs used throughout is generally, though not exclusively, on repeated habitual action. They're verbs that view the particular action from a 10,000-foot perspective, as it were. They're looking over her whole lifetime and saying these are the kinds of things that she would do. So it's not a daily planner. Nor is it, on the other hand, a feminist manifesto. The woman presented here is not a businesswoman who is free from the bondage of her household. The underlying drumbeat of this text is actually that she is richly devoted to her household. She spends her time laboring to benefit her home, not to build an empire. And when she does engage in business, she's not doing so for her own promotion. She's doing so for the good of her home, as we'll see in a moment. This is the kind of activity that Paul commends in Titus 2, 4 through 5. That younger women would be trained by the older women to love their husbands and children, to be working at home, and to be submissive to their own husbands. It's not bondage to be devoted to the good of your home. It's actually God's wisdom. Rather than giving ladies a daily planner or a feminist manifesto, this poem provides a 10,000-foot overview of a lady's life lived well with God's wisdom. The focus is on the general patterns, with a few high points of particular significance noted along the way. And that's furthered by the structure of this poem. You might see a footnote there in your Bible that identifies this poem as an acrostic. Each verse begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that's significant for us because, as John Piper helpfully put it, the author is not building an argument like Paul does in Romans. Instead, he is stringing pearls. There's not much in the way of logical progression for most of this poem. Instead, we have 22 verses that are each intended to add a unique and beautiful pearl to the necklace, such that the beauty of the whole is jaw-dropping. Now, that being said, I do think that there is some measure of general structure that we can discern. The first three verses are a bit of an introduction that highlights the rarity and value of an excellent wife. Verses 13 through 27 explore the specifics of her actions, and we'll see a number of themes in that section that all reflect the wisdom of God applied to her responsibilities. And the concluding third section is verse 28 down to the end, and it centers on the praise that comes to an excellent wife. So what makes this excellent wife so excellent? What is the beauty that the final product reveals? That's our big idea for today, and it's this. An excellent wife is a lady who acts with God's wisdom. An excellent wife is a lady who acts with God's wisdom. Before we jump into the text, I do want to address one more preliminary matter. It's possible that you're wondering why you need to hear this poem. What wisdom does it have for you? Because you're not a wife. You're not a mother. And for many of us, you're not even a woman. What's the value for you when your life situation doesn't match the one addressed in this poem? Well, I'll mention a few of those as we go, a few of those kinds of applications, but I'd like to address one here at the outset. It's always good, always, always good for God's people to align their thinking on any subject with what God has to say in His Word. There's a lot of confusion in our culture on what femininity ought to look like, and even what biblically faithful femininity ought to look like. What makes for the best kind of wife and mother? What life patterns should ladies develop, whether they're single or married? What character should men be looking for in a spouse? Frankly, our culture's answers are generally bad. But God's wisdom is always right. And it's always good for any of God's people to think about any subject in ways that match what God's word has to say. And so with that, let's dive into our text. We begin with the first three letters of the alphabet, the first three verses, verses 10 through 12, that introduce us to the excellent wife, and they tell us that an excellent wife is a rare and valuable treasure. Verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Verse 10 opens our poem by immediately giving us the topic. An excellent wife. The word for excellent is a word that's used often in the Old Testament to refer to people who are strong, wealthy, or competent. In some settings, it includes the idea of high character alongside of that strength. It's a person who has high competency and high character. It's a word that's used in the book of Ruth to describe both Boaz and Ruth herself. High competency with high character. That's a rare combination. And that's why this poem asks, who can find her? It's not that she doesn't exist, but that she's rare and she's valuable. She's far more precious than jewels. It's better to have a wife like her than it is to have all the wealth in the world. She is rare and immensely valuable. And so by implication, men, this is the kind of spouse that you want. You want a lady like her. And ladies, you want to be a lady like her. Verses 11 and 12 give us an introductory insight into what makes an excellent wife. A lady with high competency and high character, what makes her so desirable? She's precious and desirable. She's rare and valuable because of the confidence that her husband can have that she will do him good. The heart of her husband trusts in her. In the deepest, most central part of his being, he has utter confidence in her. And that confidence is explained a bit more in the other lines. He will have no lack of gain. That's a financial statement. The husband trusts her to be a net contributor to the household instead of a drain on it. He can entrust all the resources that he earns for the home to her management, knowing that she's not going to be foolish with it. She's going to manage it well, such that the state of the home actually advances. In verse 12, her life leaves a positive imprint upon her husband. She is a conduit of blessing to her husband. His life is made better because he is married to her. Well, how so? How does this excellent wife do such good to her husband? What patterns have prompted him to have such trust in her? What does her life of high competency and high character look like? Well, that's where the poem goes next. The large center section of this poem reveals that she is excellent through the application of God's wisdom to her various responsibilities. We see number two, an excellent wife applies God's wisdom to her responsibilities. This is verse 13 down through verse 27. Follow along as I read. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In Amos chapter 4, verse 1, the prophet describes the wealthy women of Israel in rather striking terms. He says, "Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, 'Bring that we may drink.'" I don't know that you could find two more opposite descriptions than Amos's critique of these ladies and the excellent wife of Proverbs 31. The ladies in Amos's crosshairs lounged about, taking advantage of others, demanding service from their husbands, enjoying their luxuries, but not this woman here in Proverbs 31. She's far from that. Instead, what we find is that she's a diligent, creative worker who skillfully addresses the needs of her household. She is strong, confident, wise, and kind. And many people are benefited by her lifestyle. And if we peek ahead to verse 30, we see that this lady is what she is because she fears the Lord. This poem is a fitting climax to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, we're told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. For you to get the wisdom that the book of Proverbs offers to you, you must begin with the humble acknowledgement that God is God. You are not. And therefore, God sets the rules. This lady has that. And it's working itself out in her life as she applies the wisdom of God to her responsibilities. The main audience of this book so far has been young men. Most of the Proverbs assume a male audience, and the poem this poem concludes the book by pointing out that the wisdom contained in it, the principles contained in it, they're applicable to more than just men. Women can be robustly wise with God's wisdom. The difference is going to be the spheres in which she operates. Her responsibilities are different than her husband's. And this poem richly shows the wisdom of God applied across the lifetime of a housewife. And if there was ever any doubt that God's wisdom has practical value for regular life, for regular people, Proverbs 31 should put that thought to bed. Her life demonstrates the value of God's wisdom for normal, day in, day out life. Now, because we're stringing pearls instead of crafting an argument, this center section bounces around a little bit from topic to topic to topic, and I think we'll be helped if we consider this section thematically. We're going to trace three ways that God's wisdom impacts her life, and we're going to begin with the largest and most heavily emphasized theme. And it's this: an excellent wife demonstrates God's wisdom through diligent, skillful, and creative work. An excellent wife demonstrates God's wisdom through diligent, skillful, and creative work. Proverbs has a lot to say about hard work. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Proverbs 12:11, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. In Proverbs 22:29, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. This lady is a diligent worker. She does not lounge about waiting for others to serve her. No, she's industrious. She works hard and she works smart. She's creative in her work. She's not content merely with hard work. She applies herself to doing her work well and with good results for others. She's competent, capable, and she has high character. We see this starting out in verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. And both the language of seeking and of working with willing hands speaks to a level of eagerness and diligence that marks her labors. She handles her task carefully and joyfully, and she does this work to the best of her ability. Well, what is that work? Well, in this text, there's actually some indications that this lady is a skilled weaver. Wool and flax in verse 13 are the materials that would be used to make different kinds of clothing. Wool could be dyed different colors and could provide warm clothing against the winter chill. Flax was used to make lightweight linen garments. And if we scan down this poem, we see her working with her hands at the instruments for weaving in verse 19. And the products show up in verses 21 and 22. She has made high-quality, warm garments that are dyed scarlet, and they keep her household warm in the winter months. In verse 22, she makes bed coverings for herself and clothes of fine linen and purple. She has made clothes for her household and for herself that are of the finest quality. She has a skill, and she applies herself diligently and creatively to the task of clothing her household such that she and they are well taken care of. But that's not all. Notice what she does in verse 24. She's also selling linen garments and sashes that she's made. She's applying her skill not only to the benefit of her home directly, but also to the benefit of the home through supplemental income. There's no indication in this text that she has replaced her husband as the breadwinner, but that she uses what she has skill in to help her household in a variety of ways. And then notice verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. That word perceives refers to knowledge gained by experience. She knows that she has skill and that the clothes she makes are high quality and capable of bringing in supplemental income. So what does she do? She stays up late, if necessary, to weave more garments and sashes that she can provide to the merchant. And her business is apparently successful. In verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. She purchases a field. Well, how can she do that? The second half of the verse tells us that it's through the fruit of her hands. And so the business model is essentially that she uses her skill as a weaver to provide enough supplemental income to the household such that one day she was able to purchase the land necessary to support a vineyard. A vineyard provides the grapes and wine for the household. She won't need to purchase those things as much because she's now growing her own. Which leads into another aspect of her diligent and creative work for her household. In verse 14, she's like merchant ships that bring food from afar. The point of the comparison is that she does more than just provide the bare minimum of available local fare to keep her family from starving. Rather, she gives herself to creatively working to provide an enjoyable menu for her family. She takes her responsibility to feed the family seriously and works to do it well and for her family's enjoyment. She puts creative effort into her household responsibilities so that life in her home is enriched for all who are in it. And in verse 15, her diligence is applied to this aspect of her responsibilities as well. There are times when an early morning is necessary if the people in her home are going to be fed. She's willing to rise before dawn to make it happen when needed. Notice that she's providing portions of food for her maidens. She has female servants, which indicates that she has some degree of wealth. But rather than viewing her wealth as an excuse to sleep in and be served, she's up early making sure that even the servants have what they need. In verse 23, we see one of the results of her diligent, skillful, creative, competent, wise management of her household responsibilities. Her husband is seated among the elders of the land in the gates of their city. The gates were the place where judgment was handed down. Her husband is involved in city leadership, and he's known there. He's recognized as having good wisdom and is well respected. How did that happen? Well, Proverbs 12:4 gives us a clue. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Her husband is able to function to the best of his ability in the realms of his responsibilities because his wife handles hers so effectively. And the indication is that everyone in the town knows it, knows that he is what he is, because his wife is what she is. He's well respected because he has an excellent wife. This lady works diligently, skillfully, and creatively. Verse 27 gives us a solid summary. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She carefully and diligently makes sure that her household is well managed. She doesn't lounge about in ease and excess. She's a hard worker who applies the wisdom of God with skill and creativity to her responsibilities. As we consider how this might inform our own approach to life, I think we would all do well, regardless of gender or life situation, to learn from her work ethic. Ladies, men, married, single. What responsibilities do you have? Kids, what responsibilities do you have? All of us, what are the tasks assigned to you? It might be chores. It might be taking care of your half of an apartment. It might be feeding and clothing your family. It might be providing the resources for the home through your work. If you're a Christian, you have responsibilities to your local church with regard to serving and giving and investing in the spiritual good of others. These responsibilities are the realms in which our godliness and wisdom are displayed. How are you handling those responsibilities? Are you working at them with diligence, skill, and creativity? Are you applying God's wisdom to your responsibilities so that you can handle them as effectively as possible? Are you laboring so that those affected by your management of these responsibilities have their lives enriched by you? For our ladies this morning, I would say that this poem presents a woman who is skilled. But what she has chosen to become proficient in is not meaningless, nor is it self-centered. She's skilled in ways that benefit her household. When you're deciding the sorts of things that you give yourself to, consider what would have value for your home. What skills or certifications or education would equip you to fulfill your role as a wife and mother to the best of your ability? What would equip you to be a help to your household? And I think that's a wise question to ask whether you're married or looking for a spouse. For ladies who are married and are responsible for the management of the household, remember that this is an overview of her life. This is not her daily planner. So please don't load yourself with the burden of doing all of this every day, but rather observe the pattern of diligent work. Is that the drumbeat of your life? Do you work hard at your household responsibilities with skill and creativity? And if you will do that, you'll find that everyone in your home benefits as their lives are enriched by your labors. The first theme we've seen across this lifetime of this excellent wife is that she demonstrates God's wisdom through diligent, skillful, and creative work. And it's the biggest one. The other two will move a little bit more quickly. A second theme that we can see is that an excellent wife demonstrates God's wisdom through strength and confidence. An excellent wife demonstrates God's wisdom through strength and confidence. As a product of her fear of the Lord, this lady's lifetime is marked by strength and confidence. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." We see this in the excellent wife beginning in verse 17. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. This is no pushover, weak woman. She is strong. She is capable. She is not afraid to get down in the dirt and plant a vineyard. She's not above early mornings or late nights. She's willing to venture into the world of merchants and land ownership. She's not helpless. She's strong physically, and that's not to say that she's manly, but that godly femininity doesn't require soft delicacy. She's strong in her character. She's strong in her commitments. She's not weak. Nor is she fearful. Because she fears the Lord, she's unafraid of what's to come. She's confident. In verse 21, we saw that she's not afraid of the coming winter because she's put forth diligent effort in preparation. In verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. The future does not press down upon her to make her fearful. She trusts the Lord. She applies his wisdom diligently, and she knows that the future is in the hands of the Lord. Proverbs 19:21, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Whatever the Lord has for the future, no matter how hard it will be, God's wisdom is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. And so she's not afraid. Notice that strength and dignity are her clothing. These were obvious aspects of her character that everyone else could see. There's no question as to whether or not she could handle life's difficulties. She's strong and confident. Ladies, you do not need to be dainty or fragile to be a godly lady. This excellent wife is strong and confident. She's not bashful. She's not weak. She's not cowardly. She's strong and confident in the Lord. She's willing to take bold action for the good of her household, even if it involves risk, because she trusts that life lived God's way generally brings God's blessing. She handles what the Lord gives to her with dignity and with courage. Now, the danger is that we sometimes confuse strength and confidence with harshness and arrogance. And we can fall prey to the caricature of a strong, confident woman as one who is angry and abrasive and who tramples all over other people. But that's not the picture we see in Proverbs 31. Rather, we see a third theme, that an excellent wife demonstrates God's wisdom by being kind to others. An excellent wife demonstrates God's wisdom by being kind to others. Proverbs 21:21 says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor." Proverbs 19:17, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." The excellent wife labors diligently, as we've seen, and the people who are the primary beneficiaries of that work are the members of her household, but they aren't the only beneficiaries. Verses 19 through 20 are connected by the language of her hands. In verse 19, her hands grasp the tools of her weaving, and in verse 20, those same hands are open to the poor and reaching out to the needy. Her labors are meant, at least in part, to provide something to share with those in need. She's concerned to help others even when they have no means of repaying her. She is kind. And in the only verse that gives us an indication of the words that come out of her mouth, verse 26 tells us that she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Her words are full of wisdom and kindness. When she speaks, her words reflect the truth of God and the love of God. She doesn't order people about brusquely or snap at her housemaid who drops the dish. She's kind. The combination of strength and confidence with kindness cuts against our expectations. We've been deceived into believing that a person can be one or the other, but this woman is both. Her strength and confidence don't manifest in harshness or anger. She's kind. And truly, that may well be one of the greatest marks of her strength. Because strength is not displayed in the ability to ream somebody out or cuss them a blue streak. The strongest people are those who maintain their kindness in the face of hostility or offense. Strength is displayed in kindness when no one expects you to be kind to that person. In 1 Peter 3, Peter commends this sort of strength to wives with unbelieving husbands. He says, "Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." So what about you? Are you characterized by kindness? Are you strong and confident in the Lord such that you don't feel the need to assert dominance? You can maintain kindness. Are you kind in action? Kind in speech? Kindness is a quality that all Christians, whether ladies or men, married or single, old, young, kindness is something that we should all develop and display. In this large center section, we've seen that an excellent wife applies God's wisdom to her responsibilities. And that looks like diligent, skillful, and creative work. It looks like strength and confidence. And it looks like kindness. As we turn to the last four verses, the poem concludes with the result of this kind of wise life. What is the appropriate response to an excellent wife? How should people respond to a lifetime of God's wisdom on display? We see third here, an excellent wife deserves praise. An excellent wife deserves praise. Look down at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." Charm is deceitful. And beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. These verses are all tied together around the idea of praise. In verse 28, praise comes from her children and her husband. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And it's the idea of public praise. It's standing up and getting everyone's attention for an announcement. And the announcement is that mom is blessed. Her lifetime is marked by living life God's way, and she has received the blessings that generally come with it. Her husband joins in the praise, and his words are given in verse 29. Many women have done excellently. And this calls us back to verse 10, where we opened with the rarity of an excellent wife. Here, her husband acknowledges that though they're rare, there are still many excellent ladies out there, but he's got the best one. It's a sweet quote. Her husband is floored that he's been blessed by God with this incredible, excellent wife. In verse 31, the praise comes from her community. She is to be given of the fruit of her hands and praised for her works in the gates. She should benefit from all her hard work that's been largely aimed at serving others. It should be recognized by the leaders who sit in the city gates that her life has been a blessing to their society. And in verse 30, we hear the foundational reason for all of it. Why is she so praiseworthy? What is the core central commitment that drove her to such wise living? It was the fear of the Lord. Charm, an attractive personality, a winsome smile, being happy and maybe a bit flirty, it's deceitful. And it can be used to cover very serious character flaws, like in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Beauty is vain. It's fleeting. It doesn't last forever. For those to whom the Lord grants life, age will come for all of us. And youthful beauty goes away. It cannot be the most important thing. As Proverbs 11:22 reminds us, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. What really matters, what's really praiseworthy, what's really going to last is the fear of the Lord. A lady who knows her God and relates rightly to Him will live a life that is marked by the wisdom of God and is intensely praiseworthy. And by the way, that's God's assessment. God says that this kind of woman is to be praised. God values this kind of character. Ladies, truthfully, all of us, the best way for you to live well, the best kind of life, is a life lived by God's wisdom. It's embracing what God says to be true, right, wise, and best. And at the most foundational level, a wise life looks like embracing the core message of Scripture, that a holy and righteous God made us, but we rebelled against Him. We are all of us sinners who deserve God's eternal judgment, but God mercifully provided a way for our sins to be forgiven. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He lived sinlessly. He died on the cross as a substitute for sinners. He rose again in victory over sin and death. Jesus Christ has accomplished everything necessary for sinners to be saved. And He offers salvation to all who will repent of their sin and cast themselves entirely upon Him and upon His righteous life and His death and His resurrection, upon what He did in their place. They'll cast themselves on him to make them right with God. Wisdom begins with embracing this message. So if you've never turned from your sins and trusted Jesus Christ alone, please, you can do that today. Please do that today. Don't wait. And from there, for the Christian, wisdom looks like being devoted to thinking and acting in accordance with God's word. Romans 12:2 calls us to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. We need to have our thinking changed. We cannot view life through the same lenses that people who hate God use. Instead, we must submit ourselves to what God says is true, right, wise, and best. And this is what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 commends. When what we think is at odds with what God says, we trust the Lord with all our hearts, and we don't lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge him. We go with God over us, and he makes our paths straight. So ladies, if you want to be this excellent wife, you need thinking that is shaped by God's word. And you won't have that if time in God's word is optional for you. You won't have that if you never take time to think over what God's word has to say, digesting it mentally and applying it to your life. You need the word of God. And if you'll live by God's wisdom from God's word, you'll come to the end of your life having lived a praiseworthy life. An excellent wife is a lady who acts with God's wisdom. She's a rare and valuable treasure. She applies the wisdom of God to her responsibilities, and she deserves praise for it. May God help us be wise with his wisdom. Let's pray together. Father, when we come to a text like this, we are reminded of the beauty of a life lived by your wisdom. Your wisdom is wonderful. Thank you for giving us the sufficient word. Thank you for the truth that guides us, instructs us. Lord, your word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that we would be equipped for every good work. Lord, we want to be wise with your wisdom. As we've considered what makes for an excellent wife, Lord, we all want to be wise with your wisdom. We all want to live a life that is as beautiful as the one we just looked at. So Lord, please strengthen us to that end. Help us to be wise, to embrace your wisdom in whatever the responsibilities we have look like. And Lord, as we consider the ways that we may have failed to live by your wisdom, we're grateful for the grace that is applied to repentant sinners like us. And we ask that you would give us grace to begin being wise today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take the next few moments there in the quiet of your seat and respond in prayer as the Lord has worked in you. And then I'll close this in just a moment. Lord, thank you for your grace that is evident in the Christian ladies that we know. Thank you for the way that you have brought your wisdom to their minds and they have labored. Lord, we are each of us a work of grace, a work in progress. Lord, thank you for the ways that we can see your wisdom reflected in the godly Christian ladies that we know. Thank you for those ladies that are here in our church. We pray that you would continue to strengthen them by your grace so that we would look back over their lives and we would say, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but this woman feared the Lord and she's to be praised. We ask this for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.